He's over there standing waiting to push that button, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. Ephesians chapter 3, and I want to read verses 14 to 16. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. What I want to speak about today is the whole family of God. I like that phrase. There's a lot of fight about that phrase, but I still like it. We speak about the family a lot here in this place. Why? Well, first of all, it's scriptural. From generations of revelation, you're going to find the family of God. And he's going to talk about it as an illustration, as a family. From the generations of Adam to the coming of Christ with his saints, this book is a book of family. His family. Now, why is that in there all the time? Well, the second point is because it's important. Family is important to God. There's no randomness in the scriptures. I want to make that perfectly clear. I've been taught this by the Spirit through the scriptures. There are a lot of things in the scriptures that I don't understand. And I say this in total honesty, that's my problem. Okay? It's my lack. It's not a lack of the scriptures. It's not a lack of the Spirit. It's not a lack of God. It's never a lack of the Spirit. It's never a lack of God or the Scriptures. It's always a lack in me. However, I can also say in total honesty, there are some things now that I understand that I never used to understand. Walter and I were talking about this after service or in between services, I forget which, last week, that since I've been doing studies in Ephesians and reading and listening to Dr. Jones and some others and doing some more reading, I have a greater understanding of what Earl was preaching for the last 20 years that I heard. We are to hear from men. That's the way God's chosen for us to do. That's the way it works. Yes, first the eyes of your understanding have to be enlightened. But they're enlightened toward his scriptures. They're enlightened toward his preached word. So that you will see, hear, and understand something. And you may not get it all. You never do. But we are to read, we are to study, and we are to listen to pastors and teachers. Peter told us this, and this was also not a request, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. That's not a request. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's that mean? Well, there comes a time when you're not supposed to be satisfied with milk. Now, the young ones, that's fine. I'm serious. You're going to pick up what you can pick up and what God gives you. That's all it is. I've been there, done that. There are things that just really blew my mind. And it still happens today. Where it's like, I look at something that I've read. I know I've read 24 times. And yet I see something there that I didn't see before. Or I hear somebody say something about, that's what that scripture is talking about. Grown believers need some meat. Now, some meat is nice and tender, some not so much. You know, pork roast in a slow cooker is not the same thing as a grilled steak. Some of it you might have to chew on a little harder than others. But if it's according to these scriptures, it's all fit food for the child of God. Whether you got to chew on it or whether it just breaks apart in your mouth and it goes right down. It all nourishes the child of God. Verse 14 of Ephesians 3, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This statement starts off with, "For this cause." Paul wrote this because of what he wrote before. That's the way he always does. If you'll read these scriptures, you'll see he starts laying line upon line, layer upon layer. But here where he's speaking, just before this, where he wrote, "The fellowship of the mystery, the manifold wisdom of God, the eternal purpose of God, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, in whom we have access with confidence by the faith of him." That's all from verse 7 up. "Don't be faint. Don't be weary. Don't be sad at my tribulations," Paul wrote, "which are for your glory. For this cause I bow." For the purpose of God, I bow. "For the fellowship of the mystery, I bow. For the manifold wisdom of God, I bow. Because we have boldness doesn't mean we're cocky. We can approach God. We are told to approach God. But you don't approach God with an attitude. That's not boldness. That's foolhardiness. That's the world. They'll tell you. Oh, they'll tell you. Religious societies will tell you. You tell God what you want and he's got to give it to you if you ask in the name of Jesus Christ. And that is a lie. Straight from the devil's mouth. And nothing but. Paul says, "I bow." What are you bound to? You're bound to God. You're bowing to his manifold wisdom. And you're bowing to his will. Not your will. That's what the world doesn't get. You come to a point where you realize, hopefully, that what you want doesn't matter. I had some army sergeants try to beat that into me. Took the Spirit of God to do it, though. And still, my will raise its ugly head. Oh, yeah. Oh, that, you know, I was talking about the Salvation Army broadcast last week. Well, this week, they were singing a song about how prayer changes things. You ain't changing the will of God. I'm sorry. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care how many of you are praying the same exact prayer. You will never change the will of God. And Paul bowed to it. And if you ain't bowing to the will of God, if you're not bowing to the Father, you're not praying. Paul bowed, the apostle to the Gentiles, the man who God gave this revelation to. Christ appeared to him in person. He bowed. He bowed then, and he's bowing now. Guess what? You're going to bow until you get taken out of this life, and then you're going to bow again. Because once you see him, you're going to bow. Willingly and lovingly. There's no end to this bowing. Submission. That's the word, and that's the word the world hates. Okay? Paul says, "I bow. I bow to the Father of our Lord." We don't only bow in prayer. We bow in our life. We are to bow in our circumstances, whatever those circumstances are. It ain't easy. I didn't say it was going to be easy. But we're to do it. We're to do it. One of the reasons why is because hopefully by now you have learned and you are learning that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are the called according to His purpose. You understand? You can't take one scripture and forget all the rest. And that's a scripture, seriously, I try to keep in my mind all the time. I know you're not supposed to have favorites or whatever, but I do. I do, and that's one of them. Because I've seen it work in my life and in other people's lives. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I'll tell you something. A, there ain't no good people. All right, so you might as well forget about that part. But why do bad things happen to Christians, to believers? Okay, I'm going to tell you, good things come out of them.
Amen, that's right.
I've seen it. I've seen it. I've been in it long enough. I've seen it in myself and in others. I'm not going to go into the examples because that's not a thing we need to do. Anyhow, but we don't bow only in prayer. We bow in our lives. Paul says, I bow to the Father. Now, it's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he says, I bow to the Father. Believe the Father, believe the Son, believe the Spirit, and because of believing God, we trust in the fellowship of the mystery, the manifold wisdom, the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ. I don't understand. That's okay. Bow down. I don't like it. Boy, there's a lot of that. Bow down. I don't want this to happen. Bow down. That's just all there is to it. Bow. It's His will, His purpose that matters. And He'll show it to you if you trust Him. But here's what I really want to talk about today. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Walter, I did not know there was such a big discussion about this verse among certain people. But there is. They first start off arguing about of whom. They do. There's a lot of discussion about this whole verse, but it starts right here, of whom. Okay, because they want to know, is Paul referring to the Father or is he referring to Christ? Well, A, you can't separate the two. Okay, let's just start there. You can't separate the Father from the Son. And you can't separate the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It can't be done. And B, Paul's already bowed to both in the past. That's not the point. Which one is it? Although I have my thoughts. And I'll show you some of it here in a minute. Because here, as far as I can tell, the direct object of the previous verse is the Father. Okay? I bow to the Father. Then he describes the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it wasn't an insignificant add-on. It's a certainly necessary add-on. But he says, I bow to the Father. Now, this is something I've been thinking about since I heard somebody say it. Jesus Christ, when he was here, and even after he's gone, okay, Jesus Christ always exalted the Father. The Son exalted the Father while he was here. Not saying that they're not equal. They are one. But the Son exalted the Father. He told us, you pray in secret, and my Father, which hears in secret, shall reward you openly. So you can bow down in secret. He commanded us to pray to the Father. You don't find anything in the Gospels or anywhere else where Christ said, pray to me. He said, pray to the Father. Now, he said, pray in my name. And pray according to his will. See, they always want to leave that little part out. You know? You pray that mountain be removed. It'll be removed, bless God, just because you said so. No, because it's in the will of God that mountain's going to be removed. Otherwise, it ain't going anywhere and you're just wasting your breath. And I don't have any mountains that need removed. They're doing enough of that in West Virginia. But I'm not here to talk about that. We pray according to the will of the Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you want to repeat a prayer and prayer after prayer, repeat that part. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, thy will. Christ always told us to pray to the Father. The Son reconciled us to the Father. The Son brings us to the Father. And Christ stated it himself, I and my Father are one. So if you're bound to the Father, you're bound to the Son. If you're bound to the Son, you're bound to the Father. They are one. The whole family. The whole family. Now there are those who want this word whole translated as every family. And I understand where they're coming from and I understand what they're worried about. But to be honest, that seems incorrect in this context. There is a manner in which this is true that, you know, I mean, we have our church family here. We have this assembly, and we are a family. But we are a member, a part of a much larger family. You know? And there are literal, physical families. Physically related, brother, sister, mother, we got that here. Child, grandchild. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Okay? Now, every family is a member of that family, the whole family. Okay? I'm not saying those don't exist, but what these people seem to be worried about from what I read, okay? They're worried about somebody saying this whole family is the church and nothing but the church. And using that as a way to preach replacement theology, that we're saying that the church took the place of Israel. And that's not what Paul is saying by any stretch of the imagination. And that's why they wanted to kind of separate that and say, well, see, it includes this. Well, Paul does. He goes on to include a whole lot of people in this. We'll get to that. But they're so worried about that part that they want to go the other direction from what Paul was saying here. And I don't think, like I said, I'm not saying they're telling a falsehood. It's just I think they're missing kind of the point here, the context of this verse. Because I believe Paul is writing here of the unity of the whole family. And the word translated whole, I looked at it, it's pasa, which is just a form of the word pas, which is all. Okay? That's what it is. It means all, and the word whole, translated, the word family, both of those words are singular. They're not plural. Okay? He's not talking about a bunch of families. He's talking about all the family. All the family. The whole family. That's who he's talking about. Now, there is only one family of God. That's all there is. That's all there is. I don't mean to say that this is the church only and Israel is no more. I'm not saying that. Mac is right. This book of Ephesians is about the church. But it's also about how the church relates to the rest of everything. Paul here is very plain in Ephesians. Jew and Gentiles are one in the church. There's no difference. There is no difference anymore. But Paul is also very plain in Romans chapter 11 that we did not usurp Israel any way, shape, or form as the church. We did not. We are what he calls grafted in. And the illustration he uses is an olive tree. Okay, that olive tree was there before we got there. That olive tree will be there after we're cut off. Once the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, that olive tree's still going to be there. There's one olive tree. And there's one family. I don't believe in the replacement of Israel by any stretch of the imagination. I believe that there is a fullness of the Gentiles to be brought in. I believe there are other sheep that he has that he must bring, and he is bringing, and he shall bring in until the fullness of the Gentiles be brought in. And I believe there are sheep before they believe, Mason. Yeah, what do you tell them guys? You don't believe because you're not my sheep. He didn't say you're not my sheep because you don't believe. That's true, but that's not why. You don't believe because you're not my sheep. He's got a sheep. Just like what? He's got a family. The whole family. The whole family. I believe when it comes to the family of God, there are only two kinds of people in this world. They are called by the Lord, my people, and not my people. That's that guy, what's his name, Haggai? Married that woman, he said, name them kids. Name one of them not my people. Then changed his name later to my people. But you have my people and you have not my people. You have sheep and you have not sheep. I always like to say sheep and the goats, but that ain't exactly right. That's right. I will judge between cattle and cattle. And sheep are cattle too. But you have sheep. And you have not sheep. Now there's two different kinds of sheep. You got lost sheep, you got found sheep. But they're sheep. They're sheep. Already he said that. I didn't say it. I'm just repeating what he said, which is what I'm supposed to be doing up here. There are those who were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and there are those who were not. I mean, there are people, I know. I went through that thing, I told Walter about it. I was listening to a guy, and this is a fellow you all know, and he was preaching, and he was talking about opposites. You know, we have Jew, and we have Gentile, we have elect, and we have lost. Wait a minute, that's not the opposite, okay? The opposite of lost is saved, okay? A lost sheep or a found sheep, if you want to use the sheep part, okay? The opposite of elect is reprobate. But people don't want to say that. They don't like that thought. They don't want to exclude anyone. Well, this book excludes a lot of people. There's many on the Broadway. And there's few that find the narrow way. Go through the straight gate and the narrow way. And guess what? It has always been that way. Now those few add up to a multitude no man can number. Guess what that is? That's the whole family. And I saw Walter in one of the verses you preached on the other day. Just if you would back up to Ephesians chapter 2 and 21. If you read, now this is speaking of the church. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple unto the Lord. That in whom all the building, that's exactly the same thing Paul says, of whom, in this case, of whom, the whole family. So if you want to say this, that's the exact same parsing. I mean, that is pasa, the same word. If you want to say this, of whom all the family in heaven and earth is named, I can live with that. Because it's still singular. It's only one building in chapter 2. It's only one family in chapter 3. The church is not separate from the family of God. And the church is not all of the family of God. Paul is putting this on where he's been talking about the church. And he's putting us where we are. The church is in the family of God. But we're not saying the church is the whole family of God. And I bow to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of God is named. I like that. And this word family, here's another reason why I do believe he is referring to a father. That word family is patria. The word father in the verse before it is pater. So you've got pater and patria. This word family, it does mean big. It can be a group of families. But what it means is patria. It's paternal. It all goes back to a single source. It's like the Jews. They always like to look back to Father Abraham. Paternally. Everything comes down from Abraham as far as the Jews were concerned. Well, as a whole family of God, everything comes from the Father. There's one source of the family. Everything comes from the Father. What? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning, no variableness, no change to his will, no change to his wisdom, no change to his eternal purpose. That's why they call it eternal. It's eternal. Patria, family, nation, having a common origin, descended from one source. The whole family, and if you want to, every family has one source. All the family has one source. The whole family has one father, and he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, bow to him. I bow to him. And if you don't bow to him, you're not part of that family.
Right.
You got no reason to think you're part of that family.
Right.
You got no reason to say you're part. If you will not bow to him, you got no reason to say. Oh, sure, you might be elect. But if you're going to be converted, if you're going to be regenerated, and if God is going to do it, you will bow to him.
Amen.
That's as certain as believing his son, because you can't believe his son unless you bow to him.
Amen.
He's your Lord. It's not just that he is the Lord. Although he is the Lord, he is your Lord.
Yes.
And his Father is the Father, and you will bow to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
We are called heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. And not only that, he calls us brothers. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Wow, that's another family illustration. No, that's a family reality.
Yeah.
He is our elder brother. We pray to the Father. We bow to the Father. We pray in the name of our elder brother. The one who's not ashamed to call us brethren. I'd be ashamed to call me brother. I know me too well. But I was listening on the way up here to one of Earl's messages on the forgiveness of sin. And it's like, brings it all back. I was sitting right there, I'm sure. And there he is preaching. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's another one of verses I can't get away from, and I don't want to get away from. Because that is indeed a blessing, because I do sin. But it's not imputed. Why? Because he's not ashamed to call me brethren. He paid that price. He paid for my sins. He paid for the sins I will do tomorrow. Because if he didn't, I'm damned. That's the way it is. If he didn't pay for all of my sins, somebody's got to. And the payment of sins is death. And you understand that same God, same Father that will not impute sin to that blessed man. Okay? That same Father is the one that said, I will by no means clear the guilty. So if he's not imputing sins to me, that means I'm not guilty. And in Christ, I am not. Because he paid the price that I couldn't pay. We have an older brother in the family of God who is our advocate. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then Paul makes this statement in heaven and earth. In heaven and in earth. The whole family. This is why I think the whole family is a good translation. Because he's talking about the family in heaven and in earth. There are those that have gone on before. They're still members of this family. Now, I'm not talking just Earl or any. I'm Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You can name them. Noah. Rahab. Who else? This book is full of them. That have gone on before. Paul, our apostle. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they've all gone on. They are still members of the family, the whole family, in heaven. But also, he doesn't leave us out, in earth. That's us. At this time, Paul, he's talking about his people, and I tell you, I believe he also meaning those other sheep that I have that I must bring, that he hasn't brought yet. The whole family of heaven and of earth has one name, and that's the name of God. God's people are called by God's name because God's people are the whole family of God. You can look in the Old Testament, and you'll see that he has called out a people. What does he say? For my name. For my name. Not for your name. For my name. And the whole family in heaven and in earth, the whole of the family is in his name. Jesus Christ came to reconcile us to God. To reconcile the whole world to God. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. He goes from reconciling the world to specifics, what I'm talking about. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. He offered his blood to the Father as the perfect sacrifice for sin, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. We are in the whole family of God. We are a part of something much greater than this assembly. And there are other assemblies around us. Some of them we know, some of them we don't know. There are people here, there, and everywhere. God knows his family. And it's the whole family. We are to love the family we know. to cherish, to pray for, to support, to help, to do what we can. But never forget, we are a part of a much bigger thing. We are part of the whole family. And we have the name of God. Bow to Him. Bow to the Father. Our relationship with God and with each other is in Christ Jesus. Yeah, the family. We're in the family because of the Son. We're in the family because of the Son. And only because of the Son. If He didn't come, none of this happens. If He didn't come, I wouldn't be here. If He didn't come, it doesn't matter whether I'm here or not. But now, therefore, this is Ephesians 2:19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. This is my last point. Because I like this. And this is one of the reasons why I do think Paul's not talking about families, you know, every family. He's talking about one family, the whole family, okay? There's only one household of God. And we are of that household. Now, you understand what I said before? We have physical families. I have got family from Florida to Oregon. And three or four places in between, okay? I got a sister in Oregon. I got nephews and nieces and stuff in Florida. I got Ken in Peterstown. I've got uncles and aunts and cousins and stuff in Chicago and outlying areas. We have many different households, even though we are part of one family. But see this, there is only the household of God. That's all there is. What did Christ say about this? What illustration did He use? He said, John 14:2, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. In My Father's house. That is defined as a building used for a residence. Now this is an illustration, I understand. It's used as a residence. It's where people live. It's where you live. And it's My Father's house, Christ said. And in My Father's house are many mansions. And Lord, I remember people arguing over that. Because somebody wanted to say rooms and they got upset. Because no, God said I got a mansion. It doesn't matter what you have. There's a place for you if you're in the family. There's a place for it. There's only one household. There's only one house of God. I will prepare a place for you. And that word mansions means dwellings. 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 Place of abiding. We abide in His house. We live in the household of God. We live in the family of God. And that's the only place there is life, true life, is in that family, in His Son. And there is a place for you in the family, in the house, and in the household. Cherish that. Bow to it. Bow to Him. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful to You who sent Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us, that You're doing for us, and You shall do for us. Thank You, Lord. Give us the strength to walk in this world. Give Walter the words we need to hear as he comes to preach before You. We'll give You all the praise and honor and the glory because it is Yours, now and forever. Amen.
That was good.